typically, when you think of Rambam and learning Lamdas in the Rambam and Steers in the Rambam, one of the first names that comes to the mind is the Ohr Sameach. And I'd like to share with you a few points that the Ohr Sameach discusses regarding, based off of Rambam. These are all actually halachas, halacha lamais that relate to fasting on Yom Kippur. I'll tell you a little bit about what the question that I'd like to discuss. Let's say a person is ill and has to eat on Yom Kippur. Doesn't matter what they eat. Meaning, if a person has to eat a choice to eat either fresh challah or stale challah, challah left over from Rosh Hashanah, is it a kiyum of tanuas nashoseichem, which again doesn't apply to? It doesn't mean that you have to afflict yourself and whip yourself. It doesn't apply that you have to, do all kinds of other masochistic, sadistic, and masochistic self-torture. But it does apply to inui through achila. So within the inui of achila, if a person, okay, for whatever medical reason, they do have to eat, but is there a preference to eat foods that are less pleasant or more torturous than eating pleasant foods? You think that it's just, it's a cute shiloh, but there's a very shiloh that's exceedingly halacha lamaisa. If somebody is if we're concerned that somebody is at risk of dehydration and they have to hydrate themselves, so should they hydrate themselves with water, or could they hydrate themselves with oranges because they like oranges more than water? If there's an inui component, so maybe it should be water. If we're not worried about an inui component, so do whatever you want. Enjoy. Have some Coke. Not that Coke is going to hydrate you. That's one issue. Another issue that we'll see if we have time for would be, let's say the doctor says the person has to have 500 calories today. Now, 500 calories could be consumed in different ways. You could have a solid, let's say a chocolate bar or two, or a few slices of bread, or you could have a 3 cups of grape juice, or one of those liquid nutrition, right? The doctors give liquid nutrition for people if they need to. Ensure. What's that called? Ensure, right. You can have one or two of those cans of Ensure. So is it better to have solids or liquids? Or is there no difference at all? Doctor just said they need 500 calories. You can get the 500 calories. Doctor doesn't care how you get it. So these are the shilas I'd like to discuss. And this entire discussion is going to be from the Ohr Sameach. To begin with, the Shulchan Aruch paskens, based on the Rambam, that of course when a person is, Rachmana Litzlan, has to eat for medical reasons, so the way to do it is always hakal hakal tchila. You try to minimize as little. When you're breaking away, it's something you want to break away as delicately as you can. So when we're dealing with, the Torah says that a person has to eat, of course, it's a mitzvah to eat if a person has to eat. Sometimes you have people who are too so from, that Rabbi Kanu was telling me, that typically on Yom Kippur, the most common hatzalah call is that somebody was an Ibra Chacham, and they're so from that they didn't want to take their heart medicine, or their diabetes medicine, or there whatever other medicine, and because of that, you have to have all these people being mechalel yontif daraisa to drive, to help out situations where the person had a heter to certainly take their medicines, and maybe even in some cases eat as well. So we shouldn't be smarter than the Torah is. Of course, if somebody has shailas, discuss it earlier rather than later. But and certainly before a person stops taking any medicine, certainly talk to both the doctor and the rav, and you'd be surprised. At least when it comes to medicine, taking medicines, there's certainly much room to discuss, but definitely ask a shaila. So, if a person is going to eat on Yom Kippur, so the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha says that you have to start small, start hakal hakal tchila, minimize the isurim. So we have to figure out when it comes to eating non-kosher foods, for example, nothing to do with Yom Kippur, non-kosher foods. So you start with, let's say, has to violate a Drabbanan, then somebody has to violate a Siddharaisa, less than a shear, more than a shear. Okay, so if a person has to have a shear, if a person has to eat on Yom Kippur, so let's talk about foods for a minute. How much is going to be less than a shear of food? Less than a shear of food is going to be pachos mikako seves. The Mishnah tells us that the shear of achil on Yom Kippur is a koseves, the size of a large date. In real terms, that's about 30 grams. 30 grams. So, how many grams are in a small, wise potato chip bag? Nobody eats potato chips anymore. I think about
six,
what?
Six.
No, it's that little? That little? I thought it was around 25. Okay, if I'm not mistaken, you'll check the potato chip bags when you get home. The little potato chip bags, the little snack bags that the kids take to school, the little ones, the ones that used to be 25 cents, I don't know if they are now, but the ones that when I was younger, were 25 cents in the deli, in the corner grocery store, those are probably less than 30 grams. And therefore, you could have a whole bag of potato chips and still not be in violation of, fill in the blank. You could eat a whole little bag of potato chips and you're still not in violation of, and? Wrong. I was waiting for someone to say that. Good. Thank you for saying that. Absolutely not. No, an Issa D'Oraisa is on one potato chip. One potato chip is an Issa D'Oraisa. A whole 30 grams, or a kashir v'koseves, which is a little more than 30 grams, is an Issa Kares. So therefore, people have to think. The most common misconception, and this is with doctors included, I had conversations with doctors, and they didn't know this, from doctors, unfortunately, they think, okay, if it's less than a shear, it's only d'rabbanan. That's wrong. It's absolutely false. Less than a shear is asa d'oraisa, but it's asa d'oraisa, not as bad as an issa d'oraisa that is a shear, which also carries kares with it. So it's not like if you're really, really thirsty, you could do less than a shear. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. There is a misconception out there, and Baruch Hashem, we are making sure that is not a misconception in our shul. Let's talk about foods. So if macholim, if a person has to eat, they should try to, if they can, have less than a koseves, less than 30 grams, they'll be okay. What about drinks? So drinks is different than foods, whereas foods are objective. It's a koseves for every human being. The Gemara tells us that when it comes to drinking, that depends on your cheeks. Lalugmav, which is depends on your cheek and your cheek and your cheek, and Og Melech Habashan's cheek is going to be different than a scrawny ninth grade bar mitzvah boy's cheeks. The way to measure that, the Mishnah Berurah says that again, if somebody does have to drink or might have to drink on Yom Kippur, I urge you to do this. It's easier than you think. You drink, the Poskim say, you drink water, you fill your mouth, both lips, both cheeks, till it's full with liquid, spit it out, and divide by two. Because the halacha is it's only one cheek full. But the problem is you can't really practically ever measure how much is in a cheek, in one cheek, because just the way you move your mouth around, it's hard to get a measurement of what's in one cheek. So the Poskim say you should fill your mouth, both cheeks, till it's fully, fully, fully stretched out, spit it out, and divide that in two, and that's the amount that you could drink. Yeah?
A little bit has more than half of the space between your teeth also.
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah, half of your, you know, your mouth. Okay, so that's as far as the Shulchan Aruch goes. Now let's get into our question of if a person has to eat and the doctor doesn't care, as long as they get, let's talk about foods now. Doctor doesn't care what they eat, so do they have to have less good food or could they have better tasting food? Does that make a difference at all? So Dar Sameach says that he met somebody, he heard somebody said, brought a raya, that in other Averas, not Achil, other Averas, there's an interest in minimizing the Hana'a that is derived from the Avera. Without getting into detail, certain other Averas in the realm of Arayos, so if somebody is in violation of that Avera, they should try to minimize whatever Hana'a that they derive. So if that's the case, somebody suggested, so too when you're eating on Yom Kippur, you should minimize the Hana'a that you're getting, even if it is permitted to eat for medical reasons, but you should try to eat things that are as, I guess, bland, stale, you know, there's a mitzvah of inui, and presumably you should, says Dar Sameach, he saw somebody write, that they should have whatever amount he needs, whatever caloric content they need, but it should be poor quality food, it should not be something that's pleasant. That's what the Dar Sameach heard somebody say. Comes Dar Sameach and says that it's clear to me that that idea, that when there's an issa that's violated, to minimize the hana involved, that's only true by an iser that doesn't have any shear. Let me explain. If the Torah says there's a certain quantity that's usser, then that's the quantity that's usser. It doesn't matter how much of it, it doesn't matter what that is made out of. Meaning, if the Torah says a koseves, a 30 grams of food is usser, it doesn't matter if it's steak from Prime Bistro or if it's leftover schnitzel from Rosh Hashanah, from the Rosh Hashanah meal. Why? Because the Torah told you what the Isser is. The Torah didn't say it's the Hana. The Torah said it's the consumption of a Kosevis in our case, in the case of Yom Kippur. So therefore, says the Or Sameach, an interesting chiluk. Whenever the Isser is an Isser to do, or to be Nehene, so then, if you have to violate it, it should be minimized. But when the Isser has a shear involved, don't eat a kazayas of that, of this, don't eat a kosevis of this, then the shear is the ruler, rules, the shear rules, and we don't really care about what the kind of food is. And therefore, according to this, says the Sameach, it shouldn't really matter, you could eat whatever you want, as good, you could eat good food or not good food, either one would be just as good because they're both the same. They're both the same shear. And he gives a little bit of a svar if we could try to understand it. It's a fine point, it's a subtle point. Let's say you have stale bread. If it's less than a kazayas, then it's not a shear. If it is a kazayas, then it's a violation of the Nisa Daraisa. Does that change whether it's good bread? If it's sweet, if it's fresh bread, that same distinction is going to be there. Less than a kazayas is going to be okay. Once it's a kazayas, it's going to be an Issa Daraisa. So there's no change in the shear, whether it's fresh or not, whether it's good food or not. So therefore, says the Or Sameach, similarly, once it's going to be a shear, let's say you're going to have a whole slice of bread, it doesn't matter whether it's fresh or not fresh. That's the svar of the Or Sameach. And he brings a proof. And he points out that this is especially significant on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you might have said the surah that we said earlier. On Yom Kippur, it's not just an Isra of Achila, but on Yom Kippur, it's a... Is there an Isra of Achila on Yom Kippur? Is there an Isra of Achila on Yom Kippur? Trick question. No, there's no Isra of Achila on Yom Kippur. There's a mitzvah saseh of Inui, to afflict yourselves. So, but that would be the one case where you'd have maybe, since there's a mitzvah to afflict yourself, there possibly would be the only situation where you might think to have food that's not as good. By all other Isurim, it definitely doesn't make a difference. But by Yom Kippur, maybe you'd think that for Inui, you should have less good food if you have to break your fast. And says the Sameach, even there, he brings the Gemara to prove that even by Yom Kippur, where you'd have a Havamina to have less good food, in other words, worse food, even there, he brings the Gemara to say that it would be okay. So halach l'maisa, what we come out with something is very important. It is the following. Halach l'maisa, if the doctor says somebody has to drink, they have to hydrate themselves. So what would you, as their friend, encourage them to take? Should they drink water if they have to drink on Yom Kippur? Let's say you have, most commonly, a pregnant woman is at high risk of dehydration. A nursing woman is at high risk of dehydration. So they're going to have to drink water because of whatever complication. A regular pregnant woman or nursing woman typically does fast, but if there are complications or if they start getting dehydrated, they have to drink liquid. What kind of liquid are you going to tell them to drink? Water? No, don't drink water. They should drink Gatorade. They should drink Powerade. They should drink something that would, that will give them a little sugar and even a little electrolytes won't hurt. That would be much smarter if they're going to have to drink on Yom Kippur, instead of just drinking water or seltzer. This also, Shlomo Zalman, in his Sefer that was put out with his Psakim, Halicha Shlomo, also points out, a person who has to drink, he should drink chalav im sukkar. If you're going to have, you could have milk, you could even put sugar in the milk, even though sugar is a solid, but once it dissolves, if it's warm, it's now you're still getting the liquid content, but you're getting some more, you're getting some calories, you're getting some energy, you're getting some nutrition. That's all going to be fine, l'chatchila, again, for such a person, instead of just drinking water. Oh. So Shlomo Zalman says, but wait a second. Isn't there, and now we're going to go to the next step of this, the second half of this year. He said, but wait a second. Isn't there a famous tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, written in 1836? I did some research about 1836. The period in the 1826 to 1837, there was a cholera pandemic in Europe. Apparently, the world has had 7 cholera pandemics, and the second cholera pandemic was in this time period, in Europe in the end of the 1820s. Apparently millions and millions and millions of people died around the world. I just did some research. 1 million people died in 4 years in Russia. Russia alone, in a period of 4 years, 1 million people died from cholera. Between 1847 and 1851. That was a little bit of a later epidemic. That was the third epidemic. So this is the famous story about Rav Yisrael Salanter making Kiddush on Yom Kippur. You heard that story? Rav Yisrael Salanter was said that he was worried that there might be people. What is cholera? Cholera, again, the doctors could correct me, but cholera is basically an infection in the of the intestines where it leads to dehydration. So you could imagine that if somebody is dehydrated, they're more going to get sick. But here the doctors were saying at that time, and the question that came to the Chasam Sofer in 1836, not that somebody has cholera, could they drink? That's definitely yes, that's going to be his pikuach nefesh. The question was that the doctors were telling people at that time not to leave the house, or that if you leave the house, you have to eat. That's what the question that was presented to the Chasam Sofer. The doctors are saying that if people that go out of the house have to drink, or eat or drink, and therefore it's Yom Kippur, what should we do? So listen to what the Chasam Sofer says. First, the Chasam Sofer says, we have a funny shaila here, because we're talking about people who are totally healthy. People who are totally healthy. Could somebody who's totally healthy, I know that a sick person, if they're sufficiently sick, they're Rabbi Paskins, they're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. What about somebody who's totally healthy? Could they eat or drink to prevent themselves from becoming seriously sick? So the Chasam Sofer says, of course they can. And he brings an interesting proof. He says, if you have a pregnant woman, so if there's a danger to her baby, to her fetus, is she allowed to eat to save her baby? Is a pregnant woman allowed to drink so that her baby won't die? The baby, the mother's healthy. It's the baby that's the problem. Let the baby be mechalal yanta, be mechalal yom kippur. Why should the mother? So of course the halacha is the mother's allowed to be mechalal yom kippur or do anything else to save the baby that's inside of her. What do you see? That a healthy person could eat on Yom Kippur to prevent some a safik pikuach nefesh. Whenever you have the same situation, whenever there's any ever hatzala driving by, it's a healthy person being mechal Shabbos for a person who's sick. So of course, it doesn't have to be the sick person who's mechal the halacha. Anybody could be mechal the Torah for a pikuach nefesh. So therefore, continues the Chasam Sofer in this discussion, and he says, okay, so it's clear that a person, even if you're healthy right now, even if a person's healthy, but if it's going to be dangerous to go outside, that a person might contract cholera, which is a deathly disease, so they should be able to eat. But the Chasam Sofer says, wait, but I have a better idea. Why don't they just stay home? Yeah, who says you should go to shul? You're still worried about going to shul? Don't worry about going to shul. It's more important to fast. This is a very important Chasam Sofer. Why? Because this Chasam Sofer comes up. I'll tell you a conversation I had with a individual who's connected to our community, doesn't live here, but connected to our community. And I was explaining to her that in her situation, she probably shouldn't start off eating on Yom Kippur. She definitely can't start off eating on Yom Kippur. Maybe at some point later she might be able to, but certainly she has to fast on Yom Kippur, certainly start on Yom Kippur. And I said to her, so what you're going to have to do is you're going to get yourself a nice comfortable bed in a nice air-conditioned room, and you're just going to stay in your comfortable bed in an air-conditioned room for the entire duration of Yom Kippur. She said, Rabbi Orlian, that's against everything I've ever learned in all my 12 years of Jewish schooling. So you know what I told her? You learned wrong. You learned wrong. It sounds very, what do you mean? I'm not going to go to shul, I'm not going to daven, I'm not going to hear the chaz, I'm not going to hear Nisana Tokef, I'm not going to say vidai. No, you're going to stay in bed and not go to shul and not hear Kriyas HaTorah and not be OC anything with the tzibur. Stay inside so that you could fast. That's based on this Chasam Sofer about cholera written in 1836. And this is Taka the Halacha. It's much more important if a person sees that there's a possibility that they might have to eat on Yom Kippur. It's more important to stay in bed the entire Yom Kippur. Then listen to this. Shlomo Zalman says, I think Nishas Avram quotes this, listen to this. Let's say somebody's allowed to eat or drink on Yom Kippur for health reasons. But if they go to shul, they're going to have one more pachos mikashir. Right? Let's say they're allowed to have, they're going to eat only pachos mikashir, but they're going to have one more pachos mikashir if they go to shul. That person should not go to shul. Better to stay home than to violate the issa d'oraisa of pachos mikashir, even though it's mutter. But if they could avoid that by staying home, yes. Staying home is sometimes what Hashem wants us to do, not like she learned in her 12 years of day school. So at least now we could set the record straight. So that's this very important Chasam Sofer. But we didn't get to the punchline of this truth of the Chasam Sofer. It says the Chasam Sofer, in this cholera epidemic, I suggest that you stay home, don't go outside. Better that way, and you'll miss Kriyas HaTorah, you'll miss everything but Tzibur. Better you fast. And then he listened to what he says. He says, but if a person, for whatever reason, finds themselves outside, listen to what the Chasam Sofer says. V'yishte, he has to drink. He should wait, 9 minutes between each. Rak hana'as me'av, whatever satisfies his stomach. V'lo hana'as grona, but not pleasant tasting foods. Hainu, kafe v'te, below sukkar v'chalav. If a person has to drink, so okay, drink, they have to drink their coffee, they have to have their tea, but without sugar, without milk, black, sugarless coffee, it's almost not worth drinking it, right? Might as well just dehydrate and die, no? Marak b'lima tubal. Can you imagine eating soup without salt? Without spice? It's like, talk to somebody who recently... Okay, whatever. So I have to tell them they have to cut down the salt intake. They'll explain to you how difficult that could be. So wait a second. What is the Chasam Sofer saying in that shuv about the cholera epidemic? The Chasam Sofer is saying that a person has to drink on Yom Kippur. What should they do? What kind of food should they drink? As unpleasant? What? Unpleasant. It doesn't mean you don't have to drink, dishwashing detergent, but you have to drink unflavored food. Soup without spices. Coffee and tea without the sugar and the milk. What do you see from the Chasam Sofer? The Chasam Sofer is telling us that on Yom Kippur, presumably because of Inui Nefesh, what are we supposed to eat? Unflavored food or little flavored food or foods that are not pleasant. That's against everything we said earlier. This Chasam Sofer is saying that you can't just, once you could eat it, it's a free-for-all, you might as well have grape juice, have Gatorade, put sugar in your coffee, in your milk that you're having. Chasam Sofer is saying that, no, you have to have unpleasant food. That's the question that Rav Shlomo Zalman asks on himself. Rav Shlomo Zalman, who told us just 5 minutes ago, that if a sick person has to eat on Yom Kippur, he might as well get something, put some sugar into the liquid so he could have some more energy or some more calories in the intake. That's against this Chasam Sofer. Could anyone hear of a chiluk between what Rav Shlomo Zalman said before, that it's permitted to have Gatorade or put sugar into your milk or sweeten up the drink, as opposed to this Chasam Sofer who's telling you what to do in the cholera epidemic case in 1836? Rabbi Flam, who gave shir on this probably a dozen times, Rabbi Flam, of course, is mechavin to Shlomo Zalman's answer. One is preventative, and one is talking about a person who's already sick. Meaning, when did the Chasam Sofer say that a person should make sure, Mavs of 8:40 or 8:45? Okay, we'll finish right now. The Chasam Sofer says that a person has to drink something that's simple and untasty. That's for people who are still healthy, and it's preventative. Then there is the requirement of Inui to minimize whatever pleasure they are going to derive. However, once somebody is actually sick, and there's a heter for them to eat, so there, Reb Shlomo Zalman is telling us that you could eat whatever you're eating, as pleasant as it is, as nutritious as it is, because it's a heter to eat already. So in that case, it is mutter to eat things with calories, with sugar, and therefore, halacha lemaaseh, if somebody is eating something preventative, they should have water. If something is somebody's eating something because of the situation that they already are in, then they should have something with a lot of sugar and calorie intake.